Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. I now don't only just love what I feel. I thank God for the privilege of being who we can be, and that is a child of God. There's no greater privilege in all the world. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we can choose to be purveyors of peace and the confidence in God, or we could feed into the fear that is happening all around us. Because you see, you and I today, we have a position and we have a promise that the world doesn't have. And that is, we have Christ in us. We have the promise of God's care. And so I want to be reading to start off today. We're going to be using a lot of scripture. And I hope that doesn't offend anybody. We're using the Bible today. I want to back up just a verse of scripture from what I put in the overhead. In chapter 4 of Philippians, I want to go back to verse 4. And this is what Paul says. And Paul is speaking. He wasn't speaking from the Hyatt Regency, from a 5-star motel. He wasn't talking from places of comfort. He was writing from prison, in a Roman prison. He was writing to a group of people that they lived in a city, and this city was given over, and they were very proud of the fact that they were a Roman city, and they prided themselves in emperor worship. And so because Christians didn't honor or worship the emperor as God, they suffered economically, they suffered socially, and so they were going through stuff simply because they were Christians. And so this is what Paul was writing to people who were living in an environment that was negative. And this is what he said. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. I feel a spirit of rejoicing in this place today. Amen. And this is what Paul says. He says, in prison, I can rejoice. Amen. In your economic positions, you can rejoice. And so he repeated it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Not sometimes. Not when things are going right. But he says, rejoice always. And he says, again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. So we shouldn't be, we should just be kind no matter what's going on in our lives. Amen. Now to get to my point. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. I want to say for nothing. What that means is to be overcome with anxiety. Okay? So what Paul says, whatever we face and whatever we go through, he says, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by what? Prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. So our approach today, yes, we wash our hands, and we hope we could find some toilet paper. But the answer is, because of who we are, we don't allow ourselves to become overcome with anxiety, but we're able to step into this place because we have the avenue of prayer and supplication under God, and we offer it up mixed with thanksgiving for what God has already done in our lives. Amen? He says, and let your request be known unto God. Sometimes people make the excuse for not praying, and this is their excuse. Well, the Lord knows where I'm at, and the Lord knows what I need. And that is true. The Lord does know what you need. The Lord does know where you're at. But the Lord just asks us one thing. He didn't ask us to fix our problems. He just says, tell Him our problems. Now, I know I've told this story before. I tell my mother, but she's not here. You know, she got very, very sick one time because a doctor had was doing a spinal tap and did it wrong, and she was in very critical condition. And she was very upset because the pastor didn't come and pray for her. So we were living in Nebraska at the time, and we drove as quickly as we could to California. Was there with my mother for several days. We was there for 3 days, and my mom was really getting negative about the fact that the pastor didn't come and pray. So finally I says, "Mom, when did you call the pastor and let him know?" She looked at me with this puzzled look, and she says, "I didn't call him. He should know." And I said, "But Mom, the Bible says call and they will come." And we treat God that way sometimes. You know, we just assume. God says, if you speak to me, if you pray. And so he gives us this information. He gives us this avenue by which we can handle any stress. I'm not talking about just the virus. There's just a lot of stress in life. And we go through periods of times in which it seems like the stress is more prominent because of circumstances. But in everything, whether it's the virus, whether it's the job, whether it's your economy, whatever the stress factor is, the Bible says, don't allow yourself to be overcome, amen, with anxiety, but through prayer, supplication, amen, let your requests be known, mixed up with thanksgiving. And why is this? And what will happen? This is what happens in verse 7. And the peace of God. Hello? The peace of God. That kind of a peace that comes in the midst of the storm. When you're sitting at your desk and says, "Lord, I don't know how we're going to get through the next week." And all of a sudden, when we pray and seek God, all of a sudden the peace of God just settles into your office. And you'll be able to breathe. And you're able to say, "Thank you, Jesus. I don't know how you're going to do it, but Lord, I know you're going to do it." Then the peace of God, when I pray, present it to God and thank him for who he is. The peace of God will flood my heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the Old Testament, we like this phrase. It says, "Choose you this day whom you're going to serve." And of course, we apply that to we're going to serve God or not serve God. But you know, life is all about choices. All about choices. And so God has given us the ability to make some choices. We could either choose to have faith or we choose to embrace fear. The choice is ours. It's not a matter of well, this person's able to have faith, but I'm not able to have faith. No, we choose. Amen. We choose to either step out and says, "I'm just going to believe God. I can't figure it out." But there's a lot of things in life I can't figure out. You know, I'm not a mechanic. I don't know a whole lot about cars. And the new cars I know even less about. But I know that when I step in the car, and I like this thing that I don't have to have a key. I have this pod in my pocket. I just push a button. I don't know how that works. This thing's in my pocket. I push a button, and boom, the car starts. Do you think it bothers me that I can't figure out how that works? It doesn't bother me one whit. When it's cold outside, you know, I'm putting keys in my pocket and stuff. I just take this pod in my bedroom. Click, click, car starting. It's warming up. You know, I don't know how that works. But it doesn't bother me. Why is it then when it comes to God? Because we can't figure out how God's going to do it. Amen. We allow it to affect our faith. Man, we don't have to know how God's going to do it. We just know that he promised that he would. And I want to stand on the promises of God. Amen. And so I'm not going to worry about what's going to happen. You know, and I'm not talking about being concerned. We're all concerned. You know, we're concerned about things, you know, different things. I'm talking about being overcome with anxiety. Amen. Be anxious for nothing. And Paul wasn't the first one that came up with that. Jesus asked that question. Then he asks us the question, can you make yourself taller by worry? In fact, I had to get a new doctor, so, you know, they do the weight thing and the height thing. And, I've always been 5'10.5". Kind of a little disappointed I didn't hit 6 feet, but I knew, what my height was. 5'10.5". So I get on this thing, and they put the thing on. She goes, "You're 5'8". And I said, "Oh, no, I'm 5'10.5". She goes, okay, stand back against the wall. She goes, no, sorry, you're 5'8". All of a sudden, I'm feeling short. But see, what Jesus said is that there's things in our life we can't control with our minds. There's things that we just can't control in life. I would like to be 6 feet. There's just something about being a 6 foot man. But now I can't even brag that I'm 5'10 and a half. I'm 5'8". By the time I'm 80, I'm going to be 5'4". That's only 10 years away. But you understand what I'm saying? We can allow ourselves to become overcome with anxiety, and we can throw up our hands. I can't help it. Yes, you can. If you didn't have Christ in you, I could say maybe you're wired that way and you can't. But we can, because the Lord says we have this access through prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, turning it over to God. His peace floods my heart. Praise the Lord. So I can have the peace of God, so I can choose this day whether or not I'm going to believe God. Whether I'm going to choose faith over fear, prayer over panic. It's our choice. I could run around the house saying, the sky's falling. And I've done it. Remember, years ago, California, this is quite a few years ago, 40 years ago, we was living in California, and the economy tanked. I mean, everywhere you went, there were signs in the windows, please don't come in, we don't have a job. It was bad. I went 6 months without any kind of an income at all. I wore out the carpet. And it didn't fix anything. But God brought us through. You see, I did a lot of worrying. I did a lot of fretting. 6 months to walk the carpet's a long time to walk the carpet. There was no jobs. And finally, there was a man in the church that was over a drilling rig to drill for oil. And that's a tough job. So he gave me a job. The first night was wonderful because he just gave me the position of just guarding the site. So I slept all day and made $100. Then the real work came in. Almost got killed twice in 6 months. But you see, we make a choice in life. We could choose whether or not we're going to fear, be overcome with panic, or we could choose, I'm going to allow the peace of God to flood my heart. In 2 Timothy 1 and 7, this is what the Bible says. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. That comes from out there. It comes from within here. That's where fear comes from. We can listen to the wrong voices. We can listen to the voices of doom. Or we can listen to the voice in our minds. And we can. But the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear. But what did God give us? The Bible says this. He's given us power. Power. And love. And I like this. I'm still working on this one. And a sound mind. My wife says I'm losing my mind. She's worried in my old age I won't have dementia. But I'm just praying the Lord gives me a sound mind. What that word means, it doesn't mean that it gives us, you know, what we think of a sound mind, a kind of a stable mind. Or what it's talking about is a mind that is settled. Amen? A mind that is not overcome with worry and anxiety and fretting and falling apart. It is a mind that is settled on the fact, I am a child of God. I have access into the very throne room of God. Amen. And when I pray, regardless of what I'm feeling, God hears me when I pray. My friend, and as Pentecostals sometimes, because we like what we feel when we come into the presence of God. But my friend, we don't live by feelings. We live by faith and promise. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we pray and we feel nothing, but God still hears those prayers. Amen. Smith Wigglesworth, he was known years ago, as a person. He would pray for people and they would just be healed instantly. And finally one person asked him, says, how come, you know, that we pray and how come you have so much faith? He says, the problem that people have, he says, when they pray, they expect a certain feeling. And if they don't have that feeling, they don't have faith. He says, my Bible never told me that there was a feeling attached to faith. It just says, pray and believe, and I will do. He says, many times I walk in, I feel nothing. I pray, I feel nothing. I see nothing. But I just believe that God heard my prayer. My friend, that's the way we need to live. Amen. Not based upon feeling, but based upon the fact, I prayed for my home. I prayed for my family. I prayed for this situation. And my God hears my prayer. Amen. God hears me when I pray. Therefore, Paul again tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. So we need to give each other latitude. Let me just slip this in here, okay? Some may be a little bit more concerned about situations than others, and we shouldn't condemn one another. Amen? And I mean, if one person has a little bit more of a concern and maybe they just kind of take extra steps of caution, we should not judge one another. Amen? Because we need to be able to live in that. But I'm talking about being overcome with anxiety, where we just become almost paralyzed, where it just seems like, and my friend, let me just throw this in. We today, the world doesn't have the hope that you and I have. Amen? They don't have the hope that you and I have. And so, my friend, today, if they are able to see anybody that has peace in the middle of the storm, it should be us. Amen. If they should feel a sense of confidence, of somebody that kind of lifts them up. My friend, when we walk into their life, they need to feel an uplift, not just another anchor on their life. Amen. We need to feed hope. And when they ask us, as the Bible says, why do you have the hope? We're able to say, because we have a connection. Amen. Amen. And this connection is not in the White House. It's not in Harrisburg. Amen. It's not downtown in the courthouse. Our connection is with the Creator of the universe. Praise the Lord. That promise, I will take care of my people. Praise the Lord. And so we need to be a witness to the world. Oh, yes, we need to wash our hands and we need to do all these kinds of things. And we need to, you know, just kind of guard against some things. But they never should feel fear, anxiety within our lives. There should be a confidence because this pleases God. Jesus asked, why are you overcome with worry? Why? Proverbs says this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust. Trust. We don't have a problem with trusting God for easy things, and usually God doesn't do the easy things. You know, I've lived for God a long time, and you know, we don't have a dishwasher at the house. If dishes gets washed, it's one of us that gets the dishes washed. I've never sat in a room and says, Lord, I'm just really tired today. Be kind of nice if you did the dishes today. I go in the kitchen all, you know, just several times and the dishes are still sitting there. Because God will never do what we can do. Amen? That was a little weak. God will never do what we can do for ourselves. Because God specializes in the things that we cannot do. Amen. And that the things that we cannot see and the things that we cannot foresee, God specializes in those things. Praise the Lord. And so the Bible teaches us this. Trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. That's just what I was saying earlier. There's things that we can't understand, but we still trust God. I don't understand how my car works, but I trust God. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. He will direct us in what we should do. First Peter tells us this. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Verse 7. Casting, and what's that casting? All, and what's that all? Your care upon Him. Not some. Bible says this. It says, casting all your care upon Him. And this is the premise. It's a wonderful thing that God promised, but it wasn't based just upon His promise. It's a wonderful thing that we have the Word of God. And He didn't say it was based on the Word of God. The reason God will is because He cares about you. And sometimes there are those that have a problem with understanding. God cares about me. God cares about me. Because, see, the world puts up all these things that are the macho man, the perfect woman, and all these kinds of things. And we measure ourselves with these different measures that are just kind of propped up in the world. Right? And then we measure ourselves by these false premises in the world, these false expectations. If you feel bad because somebody on the front cover of a magazine just looks so spectacular, just take a fire hose and hose them down and see what they look like. Take Photoshop away and see what you find. We need to get away from these measurements that the world puts upon us, our education status and our bank accounts and our titles and all these kinds of things that become measurements in people's lives. And understand, God does not look at any of those things. Amen. He cares for us because we are His creation. Praise the Lord. Because we are His special creation. And God cares for us because of who we are. Amen? And when we understand that God cares for me, and therefore, that basis, He tells me to cast all of my cares upon Him because He cares. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, so many times we think of this. We think of, well, you know, I don't want to sin. I don't want to, you know, give in to temptation. But could it be the devil knows I'm not going to be able to get you with temptation to sin? But if I could get you overcome with fear and anxiety, at least you'll become ineffective because it will override and cloud your faith. And so, my friend, when we think of the enemy, the devourer, seeking whom he may devour, what he wants is your faith. Because when Jesus told Peter, you're going to deny me three times before this night is over. But he says, Peter, I prayed for you. And what was it that Peter prayed for, that Jesus prayed for? He prayed that his faith would not fail. Because, see, when we lose faith, we've lost the connection by which we're able to overcome. Amen? We could fall, but if we still have our faith, we get back up. We could stumble. We could make mistakes. We could go through trials. We could go through valleys. But if we have our faith, we'll come out the other side. But if He could steal our faith in the midst of the valley, if He could steal our faith in the midst of the storm, amen, we throw up our hands and we begin to sink, as Peter did when he was walking on the water. Amen? And so the Bible teaches us. So it says, resist him steadfastly in faith. And again, that comes down to choosing. We need to resist negative thoughts. We need to resist negative thoughts. During the 1930s, the country suffered what has become known as the Great Depression. It was a horrible time in our history. People were lined up, couldn't find food, couldn't find work. They struggled to exist. My pastor, which was Brother Clyde Haney, again, let me clarify, that was before my time, just so you all know, okay? That's before my time. I remember him telling the stories, all right? Brother Haney just would not allow circumstances to dictate, amen, his faith. He took a chainsaw. He went up into the mountains and he began to cut fence posts because he knew that these crews that they were hiring to do government work was going to need. And he survived all the way through the Depression because he knew that if I did my part, God would do his part. And that's what we need to understand today. If we do our part, God will do his part. So he says, resist him steadfastly in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In other words, everybody goes through problems. But verse 10 says, may the God of all grace, who called you into his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Psalm says this, be still. You ever wonder why Joshua told the people, don't say a word when you walk around the walls? For 7 days, they were not allowed to say anything as they marched around the walls. Have you ever given that any thought? Why was it that here they are, it would take them a long time, you know, several hours to walk around the wall, and they could not say a word? Some of you would be in trouble. And then some would not have any problems at all. But could not say a word. And I've thought about that for a while. You know, why is it that they could not say a word until the signal was given on the seventh day, the seventh time, and then they were told what to say, to shout, for the walls will come down. Because 40 years before, they talked themselves out of victory. They talked themselves out of. They said, we can't do it. They said, we are small in our own sight. We're like grasshoppers. They talked themselves out of victory. And for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness because they talked themselves out of what God was ready to give. And so sometimes it's imperative just to be still and see. And that's what Moses told the children of Israel when they began to complain. They were standing at the Red Sea. He says, be still and see the salvation of the Lord. Why is that? Because we need to allow God to work. And I want to bring it into a landing. All right, let me find a launching pad here. Well, I'm going to finish the Psalms. It says, be still, know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You know the only two people that made it into the promised land from those that spied out the land? You know who they were? They were those that says, we can do it with God's help. God's on our side. Because God's on our side, we can do it. Let's get in there and get the work done. Amen? And guess what? 40 years later, they had to walk around for 40 years because of everybody else. But 40 years later, now they're old. I was going to say really old, but they're only 10 years older than me. Here they come into the promised land. Because now they're 80 years old. And this is what Joshua says to Caleb. Now they've been buddies for a long, long time, you know. And Caleb, Caleb comes to Joshua and says, that mountain is mine. Moses said, this mountain is mine. Yeah, but there's still giants up there that we haven't defeated. There's walled cities up there that we haven't defeated. And then he reminded Caleb how old he was. And you know what Caleb said? The same thing he said 40 years before. He says, I'm well able because God's on my side. My friend, when we get that into our spirit, praise the Lord, there is no fear, there's no anxiety, there's no valley, there's no pressure. Amen. Why? Because God is on my side. Can we stand together today? Amen, 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 amen. Verse 16 of Hebrews, and I'm going to close with this verse of Scripture. And this is what we're going to do. The writer of Hebrews says. Let us, who's speaking of us, who is us? That is those that are in relationship with God. Let us do what? Therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. This is what the Bible says. It doesn't mean arrogantly. It doesn't mean disrespectful. What does it mean? That we could walk with confidence. And we're going to pray today that God gives us the confidence that we need. Amen. To have that faith. To step into the presence of God. Whatever it is. Whether it's maybe fear and anxiety over things that are happening in our world right now. Or maybe there's some things that's a little bit more personal in your life. Some things that just seem impossible to you. But my friend today, God's message is still the same. It doesn't make a difference if it's the coronavirus. It doesn't make a difference if something in your personal life, a valley that you're going through, the promises are still the same. Amen. He says, for you to come boldly into the throne of grace, and God will give you help. Why? Because the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will fill your heart. Praise the Lord. And we want that peace of God. Amen. We want to be able to live in peace and in hope. My friend today, and God is the giver of those kinds of things. Could we just close our eyes for just a moment? Precious Lord, we stand here today. You see the circumstances, oh God, in each individual's life and the things that they're facing. You see what our country and our world is facing, oh God, today, and the fear that is rampant, oh God. But I pray today, Lord Jesus, that each one that is here right now, dear Lord God, would begin to look into the perfect law of liberty and understand that you have given us, oh God, today a promise and an access to step into the very throne room of God. And there, Lord God, today we can make our needs known. Lord, we can make our requests known. And Lord God, that you promised that not only would you fulfill those needs, but Lord, that your peace would fill the heart. And Lord, today I'm praying right now in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that each one that is here today would feel the abiding peace of Jesus Christ, Lord God, to fill every heart and fill, dear Lord God, our minds, oh God, and let faith rise to a new level, believing and trusting in you. Hallelujah. There could be some right now that are struggling between faith and fear. Hallelujah. I'm encouraging you today to embrace faith. Embrace faith. What have you got to lose to trust God? Hallelujah. Mark tells us this. To those that believe, he will give us the power of healing, of casting out demons. He says to everyone that believes, there is this authority that is given to each of us to step into the circumstances of our life and bring about victory. Amen. And I believe today that God is wanting to do something right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm asking us today, let us step to the front. Let us say, Lord, hallelujah. Let's